Hello and welcome to the Shiny Bees podcast, a podcast for those who like their knitting, comedy and yarn in equally large measures. I'm your host Jill Millmine and this is episode 120, Rusty Ferret with Leona Jane of Fluff. Hello and welcome into another episode of the podcast. How are ye? I hope you've been well since last time I spoke to you. I'm Jo, I'm back with you again, and if you are a returning listener, thank you so much. Episode 120, many more to come, and if you're new this time, hiya. You're right. Welcome in. We're a very friendly bunch. And please do make yourself at home and get comfy with your knitting because we love to have new listeners here as well. So today I'm super excited to be bringing the amazing, the witty, the totally entertaining and funny and absolutely lovely Leona Jane of Fluff back to the show. She was here again by very popular demand because she is just an awesome human. She was on the show previously talking about her move from forensic microbiology to yarn shop owner, and this time she is back talking about Rusty Ferret, which was for quite a long time a little bit secret that was actually hair that was dyeing the yarn. So she began hand-dyeing her own yarns under the pen name Rusty Ferret, and it was quite a secret for a while who it was because she was a little bit shy about her yarn and putting everything out there. And although she's no need to be because she's amazing and the colours are absolutely beautiful, she's a super creative person and seems capable of making pretty much anything, it would seem. She was a little bit shy about it. So she was working under this pen name of Rusty Ferret. And Rusty Ferret is this kind of steampunk gentleman who is the inspiration behind the yarn. So I'm very excited to be bringing her back on today. Again, it's another interview that was recorded a little while ago. And now it is going to be out in the open for you. But before I get into the interview, bringing it back up to the present day, I'm pre-laughing because I know it's going to be awesome, not because there's anything to laugh at, just because I know it's going to be a brilliant day. But I have some up-to-date, of-the-moment information for you regarding Ferret Fest. And again, I'm not laughing for any bad reason so much as Ferret Fest. It could be anything, couldn't it? It could be, I mean, I'm a northerner, right? So ferrets are a bit of a thing. Or they certainly used to be a bit of a thing up here. I think we've kind of come up to the present day somewhat, but ferrets were definitely a thing in the north. And it could be about that, couldn't it? It could be about having ferrets on little leads and having a flat cap and stuff, but it's not. It's actually about the Rusty Ferret, and it is not up north, it's in Scotland, which is an entirely different country. And there's going to be a Ferret Fest. There's going to be a day at Leona's studio in Dundee on the 17th of November 2018. It's 11 till 5 and it's at Fluff, which I have waxed lyrical at length before about what a great venue the shop is and what a lovely space it is and how much I enjoyed going there when I lived in the area. And any excuse to go back, as far as I'm concerned, I'm already planning a way to tunnel up there and be part of this myself. But it's basically, it's going to be a happy and chilled vibe. It's going to be like a tiny music festival, but for yarn. So there will be no actual ferrets there, as far as I'm aware. Other than the Rusty Ferret, of course. And there's going to be some yarny people as well. There's going to be Joy of the Knitting Goddess, who you heard from a couple of episodes ago, who's an absolute legend, bringing some of her yarn. There's going to be some of her bags, some laser cut stuff, and also Alison Ruth Designs will be there with her project bags and some really cool kits. And the Squint Crew, these are Leona's words, not mine, will be back together again as the lovely Louise Scully of Knit British, who I'm sure you're well aware of, will be there as well. She's bringing a microphone and possibly some stuff to squish. Now, there's going to be lots more other stuff to be confirmed, but there'll be really good food because there always is at Fluff, and lots of tea and ferrety goodness. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've already been on the train line to look at how much the tickets are to get the train, and I would love any excuse to be up there too. So do let me know if you're planning on attending. Obviously, any other information that you need, you can find at fluff.co.uk or speak to the absolutely lovely Leona herself, and she will sort you out. She's a legend. She is one of my very, very favourite Yarny people. And I know it sounds like I always have favourite Yarny people when I'm like, oh, this person is my favourite and that person is my favourite. And I do only have people that I actually like on the podcast. So I am going to say they are favourites, but Leona is definitely one of my... If I could only take some of my Yarny favourites to a desert island, she would definitely be a top three. Definitely, because she is absolutely fantastic value. So that's enough fluffing of Leona. I'm sure you're going to enjoy her as much as I do. So grab your brews, grab your knitting, and let's crack on with the show. Well, I am super excited to be bringing Leona Jane Page. Holy Kelly, no, she's married to a handsome husband, Mark, of Fluff back onto the show. This is one of the reboot interviews, and Leona was pretty much top of the list in terms of who you would like to see back as returning guest. And loads of stuff has happened since last time was on the show. Yeah, very, very exciting, including your you coming out of the closet as Rusty, as the really rusty ferret.
Was it that long ago that we spoke?
It was. You had this local Dundee dyer that was all
hush-hush.
Yeah, you weren't actually Rusty's handler.
Yarn World's back then worst kept secret.
I know. Well, I knew, but.
Obviously you knew.
Obviously, I always know. But Leona, thank you so much for agreeing to come back onto the show. No,
thank you for having me, and thank you for everybody who voted on Facebook. I feel like I'm liked.
You are so totally popular, Leona.
Totes pops.
Totes amaze. So last time we spoke to you, you were the owner of Fluff, and you just...
Still am.
Yeah. You still are, sorry. Like, the shop's still there, sorry.
That's still there, hasn't obvious, gone anywhere.
So you are still the owner of Fluff, but that was your guys. Well, last time we talked to you, we were talking about owning a yarn shop, and Rusty wasn't really a factor. We weren't really introduced to Rusty. It was just dyed by someone locally, and it was just coming into the shop, and it was quite a new thing. Mm-hmm. And we gave away, and don't laugh at me when I try and say it, we gave away a skein of Brudvergedders. Crap at the R's, aren't I?
You did not live in Fife long enough, Jo.
I can't do the R's. I've just been on holiday, and it's Tatty Weeks in Scotland. So all of the kids were there, like the little Scottish
tatty
kids.
Tatty Weeks.
Yeah, Tatty Weeks.
The most English thing I've ever heard.
Well, they call it Tatty Weeks in Murray.
It's the Tatty Holidays.
Tatty Holidays, yeah.
Tatty Holidays. Right, no T's, less of your T's.
Less of your T's. Tatty. Week.
That's better.
And there was these little kids there who were obviously from like Dundee, because their dad had a Dundee United tattoo on his calf. But you can tell because they roll their R's a lot more. It's a lot kind of rollier R's than where I lived up in the north. It's not quite so broad there.
Yeah. Fife likes to think they're quite posh.
Yeah, but the talks weren't. And this little kid was in swimming lessons with Sanimal, and he kept kind of trying to tickle him. And Tammy was trying to tickle this kid. Like, he can't talk very well, so he just communicates via other methods. And this kid kept going, Danny. And Sam was just like, WTF.
What?
Danny. How's that? Sammy means don't. Stop it. Anyway, completely distracted you there. So you're based in Dundee. Your shop Fluff is in Dundee, and your new, the subsequently revealed dyer, can't do it. It's almost as bad as my South African accent. Was ended up being you. So obviously, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you will have heard Leona on episode it was 50 odd, I think it was 53 from memory. I will link in the show notes. And you talked about the shop and everything there. And then we've got Rusty. So for anyone that isn't aware of the Fezza, Rusty Ferret, can you tell us a little bit about how you moved into doing that and just some background about Rusty Ferret as opposed to the shop?
Maybe 2 years ago would have been two.
I think maybe. It was quite a long time ago.
I really don't remember. But yeah, so 2 years ago, Fluff was struggling. It was really struggling. There was a few things that had happened. Like there was another wheel shop that had opened in Dundee and closed down about that time. Mm-hmm. So she had sold all her stuff off for like, I mean, you were getting like Malabrigo and stuff for a pound. So obviously the knitting community, and I would have gone too if I'd known about it, had kind of fulfilled their stashes for that point in time. I had made a few mistakes with suppliers that just didn't work out, you know, so business was at the bottom. And it was a really kind of dark time for me. And I kind of sat down and I think I spoke to you and Louise Pants and was like, what am I going to do? I don't want to close Fluff. What are other people doing that I can do to kind of save my business, basically, looking back on it? So I kind of looked quite close. So I looked at Jess of Ginger Twist and Zoe at Queen of Pearls, and they both dye their own yarn. And I was like, I can do that. I'm a textile student. Of course I can do that. So I sold my old phone for 50 quid and bought 50 quid's worth of blank yarn and some dye. And that is pretty much where Rusty Ferret started. And yeah, loved it. I didn't realize how much I would love it. It started as a necessity, but actually it was what I needed to kind of reinvigorate my love for the business, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's where Rusty Ferret started and why Rusty Ferret started. Yeah.
But that's really cool. That, I mean, like you said, oh, you don't want it to be like a kind of a self-pitying story or anything, but it just shows you, like, you can take something and just go, you know what, I'm just going to give this a bash and literally start with nothing.
Yeah. Well, I had this, I remember talking to my friend Morag and Mark, my now husband, and I don't know why I said that like that. It's just really odd to call him my husband nowadays. So bizarre. I remember sitting in the living room talking about it and how it was going to work and try to convince myself that it would work. So I would just talk it over and over and over and over again with anybody that would listen. And I had this pyramid scheme in my head, but upside down. So like I would start off with my 50 quid's worth of blank yarn and sell it and then like double it. And then it would just kind of spread out like a pyramid scheme. So in the end, I would be like a millionaire, basically, was my plan. Not a millionaire.
No, but it like you reinvest in your profits. It's not really a pyramid scheme because they're kind of a little bit dodgy.
Yeah, I know.
Let's not call it something dodgy. Let's call it what it is. You reinvest in your profits into your business to make more money. And then the amount will grow as you buy and sell more yarn. Obviously, there'll be more profits and then it will grow outwards. So it'll bloom rather than pyramid. Upside down pyramid.
I'm sticking with my pyramid scheme.
I know, you're crazy. You know, which is a solid way to get started. It shows you can, you can. I mean, are you going to have the economies of scale and everything straight away? No, but it shows you can get started by selling an old phone and cracking on from there with it.
Yeah.
Which is really inspiring.
I was kind of amazed at how well it worked. I'm very much a pessimist and a doom and gloomer. And it's same as the shop. The shop was going to be open for a week and I was going to be closed. And it's coming up for Fluff's fourth birthday. Mm-hmm. Jesus. But yeah, so I had no expectations of Rusty Ferret taking off like what it did. It was quite scary, quite weird. It's still quite weird. Because like, you look at people like the Countess and the Travel Knitter and, you know, you kind of hold them on a pedestal almost. And it's weird when people treat you like that. Mm. Does that sound big-headed? I didn't mean that to sound big-headed, but you know, when people speak to you and you're just like, but I'm just me. And it's the same like Helen and Lindsay, they're just them, but you kind of create this kind of thing. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But yeah.
People are appreciating your art. before you were selling yarn, and that's cool, but you've actually like made this yarn. It's more creativity gone into it.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a part of me. I could have totally gone to Duncan of Jordanson. It's like a part of me. And I feel like with every colorway, I'm putting out a part of me into the universe. Mm-hmm. Don't put that.
I'm going to have to because it's funny. It's so arty, you know?
I totally could have rocked Duncan of Jordanson art school.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Got the chat.
No, but you are turbo creative, though. I have to say this about you. Like, you are one of the most creative people I know.
Behave.
Totes. Like,
no.
Even more so than the Beast. And she is turbo creative. You are.
I don't know.
Creative.
I think she's gunning for it. She's got her sewing machine.
In your shop.
Yeah, totally. It was my
only
my
put her in the bargain bin.
That's how you become creative. It's how it works in Dundee. You put it in a box and there you go.
There you go.
God, I can't believe that.
But tell us some more, like, because about Rusty and the kind of the brand and the idea and the story behind it, because that's like you have really interesting names. that you know, there must be some that doesn't happen by accident. You know, like what? Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, so a lot of folk ask me about the name Rusty Ferret to start with, because it's a bit of a weird one, right? But Mark and I enjoy playing the odd video game, him more than me. And there was one night we were sat playing, I think it was Halo, probably. It's like a shooty thing. And there was a guy popped up and his gamer tag, which is like the name you use online, was Cosmic Badger Jam. And I'm like, I love that name. That's amazing. And I said to Mark, if I ever have another business, I want a name like that. Just a totally random, you know, fun name. So when I was coming up for the name of Rusty Ferret, we were sat and I said to Mark, I need a name for this yarn brand. Something random like Cosmic Badger Jam. And he went Rusty Ferret and I went sold. And that was it. And it just stuck. And I still find it funny to say. I feel like it needs a dirty Urban Dictionary definition.
It probably does have one. Have you looked it up?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It's fine. We're good.
It does sound like a ginger ferret.
It does.
Yeah.
We're in the right place for those, so it's okay.
I know. It's sort of in my head. It's kind of a cross between a ginger ferret and the meerkat. You know, the meerkat that wears the red jacket.
the Russian one.
Yeah, the Russian one, yeah. Yeah, like in my head anyway.
I've never thought about his accent before, but now it's going to be Russian.
It's got to have some kind of crazy accent. Like, it's not going to be Scottish. So. Well, he might be, but in my head, he's not.
No, I never thought he was Scottish. I always thought of him as being like this steampunk gentleman, a really, you know, a really hot steampunk gentleman. Yeah, covered in tattoos, obviously.
Yeah, we need some like fan art for him. Like, we need a full on picture of the Fezza because we've only ever seen the little Fezza face, haven't we?
Well, I did ask my brother to do one, but he hasn't done it because he's rubbish. No, he's not rubbish. He just hasn't done it yet. I'll chase him up. We'll get a picture one day.
Yeah.
I can't draw, so it would be a stick man from me.
I think it'd be cool. So taking it from Rusty, Sir Rusty's history.
Yeah.
Because he would definitely be a Sir Rusty, or at least a Rusty Ferret Esquire. In my head.
I think Esquire. I think Esquire's a good one.
Tattooed Rusty Ferret.
Yeah.
Ginger tattooed.
Not with a Dundee United tattoo, though.
No Dundee United.
I draw the line.
I do love a good calf tattoo. No, not really.
Especially if your football club logo. It's when you know.
Love it. Dinner!
Dinner! Morning, no dia.
Oh, hilarious.
I have to live with this all the time.
I know. Random. So taking it back to the yarn then, because I'm totally distracted there now. Messing
I know,
away.
Sorry.
Always happens with us though, in fairness.
I know. Keep me on point.
Yeah, but it is like a kind of like a look into our kind of relationship, because our conversations often go like this. They're quite sprightly. Generally.
I think it kind of reflects our brain. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel that, yeah, if you could put our brain, I don't know.
You're making it sound like we share a brain here.
No, well, maybe.
Probably some connection there, but it's quite a distance to share a brain over.
Just a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, no, like if you plugged our brains into the TV, I feel like this conversation would probably be pretty spot on as what was going through. That doesn't make any sense. Makes sense in my head.
That's the only place it needs to make sense, right?
Yeah, totally.
Cool. So, taking us back then to the yarn, let's get back into the yarn before I get too distracted and mess about too much. You don't need to apologise. It's probably going to happen again, let's be honest.
Yeah, no.
But for 5 minutes, let's just go back to the yarn.
Okay. I'm trying to make sure I answer the questions properly.
It's all good. It's all good. It's conversation, isn't it? It's like looking in, you know, it's like being on our table at the pub.
Oh, God. I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
I know, especially not if we're on the pub quiz because it does get a little bit out of hand.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. So the yarn.
Yeah, yarn.
So what was the first base that you started dyeing onto and why did you choose that one?
I think the first base was a nondescript 75% wool, 25% nylon because it was the cheapest one. Mm-hmm. Not the cheapest in quality, but it was the most affordable. It was a test my toe in the water to see if I could do it. Basically... And it was the one that I could get from a supplier that I didn't have to buy like 10 kilos worth. Mm-hmm. So I could buy it in small quantities. So yeah, that's why that started. But I have discontinued that because, you know, bigger things. And went on and got like a proper supplier. Not that they weren't a proper supplier, but, you know, proper supplier. And I'm now on the Merino 75% Merino, 25% nylon. Which is so soft. Mm-hmm. So soft. I have dabbled with other bases, but I'm a bit of a flake sometimes. Like, I like to play with things. And I need to be more consistent. But there might be a DK coming out, like, before November.
There might be. Is that?
Totally is. No, there totally is.
Right, well, come on. Let's give us the exclusive. Come on. Don't make
this work. You heard it here first.
Yes.
There is going to be a Rusty Ferret double knit. Polwarth, I believe it's Superwash Polwarth, coming out. I can't give you an exact date, but before November, possibly start of November.
Ooh.
This is an exclusive. I haven't told anybody about my accountability that this is happening.
Polwarth, eh?
Polwarth. Do you know what? It was one of the skeins that I dabbled with back in the day, and I really liked it. And then I wanted a cardigan. And I bought blank and dyed it. And it's been a really nice base to wear. And it washes really well. And it wears really well. And it dyes really well. And it's a bit weird. Not weird, but it's. I find you don't really get a lot of Polwarth going about. Yeah. So I went for that one.
Well, it seems as good a reason as any, you know.
Yeah. There's no.
I've not seen any bad things about this yet.
No.
Like, yeah, I feel like well, wears well, dies well.
Yes, it's all good. No, so I'm friends with the Jenny Reed, you know, the masterful photographer.
Yes,
and
yes.
She's totally name dropping there. She's a very good spinner and I just want to learn all the things all the time. So I got the Fleece and Fibre source book. So when I was looking at the bases, I didn't want to go for just another Merino. Not that there's anything wrong with Merino or BFL or anything like that. I just wanted something a little bit different. I wanted to try something. So when I was going through the page for the Polwarth, I was like, actually, that sounds quite nice. It's quite soft, but it's quite durable. And that kind of helped my decision quite a lot. And then when I got it and dyed it, as I say, it dyed really nicely. And my cardigan, I really enjoy my cardigan. I'm a sensitive snowflake. I can't deal with all this rustic yarn, as the Scully calls it. I like a soft, when we kissed by an angel. So yeah, it's nice and soft too. So yes, that's happening.
I love that. Just in time for some nice cardigan knitting.
Ooh. Don't even, I've got a queue so long of things I want to make from everything, all the things. Oh my god.
What are you working on at the moment?
Good question. I've got a mitered square blanket going. Who doesn't?
Ovs.
don't do it. I'm working on a woolly worm head hat just now, which is really cool. I like her construction. I'm working on a super secret test knit that might have something to do with the DK that I keep messing the gauge up with, so I'm gonna have to pull that out and start again. What else is sitting there? I've also got a pair of mitts waiting to be cast on. Oh, and some socks from I'm gonna say her name wrong. Michelle. Yeah, the jack-o'-lantern hidden heels. Is it Surfing Ducks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've got a pair of those waiting because I'm desperate to cast those on and get those done before Halloween. They won't be, but yeah, you should all go check out Michelle's patterns because they're cool.
Yeah, the hilarious thing is that no one's ever called her Mitch. I thought that was her nickname. It's not. I made it up, and everyone called.
Oh, did
that.
You?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that's what you said at the retreat, and I was just like, I'm pretty sure her name's Michelle, but does she better be called Mitchell or what? So confused. But I did call Tanya Joy, so you know.
And now I can't not call her Joy. Like, I know. I can't not call her Joy.
Well, when you paired me up with Joy, as in the knitting goddess Joy, for our accountability buddy stuff, I thought you'd put me with Tanya, which I was like, that's awesome. And then realized, wait, that's not Tanya's last name. What? I'm so confused.
Is her middle name actually Joy? Because her first name's RTJ.
I don't know. I don't know where Joy came from.
I have no idea. You just made it up.
I just walked in and I don't even remember doing it. I genuinely, in my head, said Tanya. Didn't. I'm sorry, Tanya.
Well, there we go. Everyone's got a cool nickname. Everyone. Yeah. I give everyone a nickname, though. I really do. But I think it helps.
Well, there's just too many similar names. Like, I know too many Hannahs. I know too many Louises. It's just, now I know too many Joys. One is non-existent, but just too hard.
She doesn't exist. Her name's just not Joy.
Well, yeah, her name's not Joy. Therefore, she doesn't really exist.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. I also put people in my phone as not real names, as their nicknames, which is going to be terribly confusing if I ever have some kind of like debilitating accident and they're trying to ring someone and there's all these ridiculous names in there. particularly since it's in the military and everyone does have a nickname in the military. Like, there are some people I work with for years, I don't even know what their name is. Don't even know what the first name is.
But that's okay, as long as they answer to their nickname.
Exactly, and they do. It becomes their name, doesn't it?
So that's fine. What was your nickname?
I actually didn't have one. Girls don't tend to have them as much. Yeah, no, I didn't have
one. Oh, that's rubbish.
But my husband's called James, and I call him Millie. Like, I call him Millie. I've never called him James, ever.
He doesn't look like a James. That's the problem. He's a Millie.
He is, but it's very confusing because then you refer to your you know, like your partner Millie, and then everyone thinks it's a girl.
He's definitely not a girl.
He's definitely not a
giant. He's a giant boy. 6 foot odd.
Yeah, big stinky boy.
Streak of a man.
He is. He's massive.
Yeah.
Big
boys rule.
Yeah, but not sturdy though. It's like big shoulders, but quite skinny legs. Quite funny.
That's because he flies airplanes, though. He needs his legs to be skinny to fit in, right?
Yeah.
That's how I imagine pilots need to be.
I don't know. Anyway, where were we? Because we have got off on one.
I don't know.
Talk about your DK. Your DK.
Oh, yeah. I was. I think I'd finished talking about my DK.
Yeah. So is it going to be in big enough, just for planning purposes here, and I'm in no way enabling anyone, of course. I would never do that. But for planning purposes, is it going to be available in sweater-sized, jumper-sized lots?
Right. Well, this is the problem. Well, it's not the problem. This is my thought process. Yes, it absolutely will be. However, being a larger lady myself,
mm-hmm.
I always need more than like 3 skeins. See these people that buy 3 skeins or something and knit a sweater. What is that about? Stop it.
I need one that for my kids. Seriously, that's not what sweaters were.
I know.
You need at least 4.
I know, right? So I will absolutely make it available so that there I can provide sweater quantities worth for most people. However, if I don't have enough, I'm going to have the function so that you can ask me to dye enough for you. So you tell me how much you need and I will dye that for you and get it to you ASAP.
Oh, that that's good. That's good. It's good that you're thinking of people like that, though, because especially with the DK, like, it is getting really close to that kind of 4 or 5 that people generally do as one die lot.
Yeah.
And I'm only wee and I need 4, so...
Yeah, well, I wouldn't... What did I use for my cardigan? I think I was up, like, 7, maybe 8. I like to make tents, though, let's not lie. But, yeah, so I... And there's nothing worse than... Especially for a garment, when the dye lot's out.
Mm.
Because, I mean, commercial dyers... Like commercial mills, you tend to not really find too much of a color difference. I mean, sometimes you do, but 99.9% of the time you don't. But with hand dyed, it can be so different from dye batch to dye batch that I would hate somebody to buy, say, 3 and 2 or whatever, and it was the wrong color. Like halfway through it changed. That's just infuriating. So yeah, I would like to have. No, I will have. The ability to custom order, would it be called?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Custom order the quantity that you would need for your sweater / whatever. Yeah. That's the plan, Batman.
That's good. That's good.
I hope that answers that question.
It does. No, but that's the thing. It's like, well, you can go and get commercial yarn and yada yada, and it will be like pretty much matching because it's dyed by the million meters.
Yeah.
But it's not... It's good in what it does. Like, it does its job. It's a commercial yarn, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But they're a bit boring. Like...
I don't know. I would call them a staple. Like your white t-shirt and your pair of jeans.
I probably always wear a white t-shirt as well. It's like my uniform.
See? There we go. But sometimes you just need something that has a bit of sparkle to it.
I like it. I like knowing someone else has done something to make it. Like, yeah. I like knowing there's another person that's been part of my creation, which makes me sound like a wanky art student, but it's not.
We could go together.
Yeah. I'd have to grow a bigger fringe, definitely, or get it cut shorter, like, so it'd be one of those, like, little mini high fashion fringes. I'm definitely not fashion enough to be an art student.
No, you just need some big glasses.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have glasses. You'll be fine.
I don't even wear glasses, though. I'm going to have to get some with, like, clear lenses.
That's fine. You'll be okay. That's a lot of art students wear non-glasses, so I don't understand why.
Because why? They've got a little part, aren't they?
But why? You don't need them. Don't wear them. Just let me have something. I was bullied for like 18 years for wearing glasses, and now it's cool. What's that about?
Mm.
Huh? Huh?
It is.
Not better.
It is. It's very cool. We could do that. I could totally come to art school with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It's like, that's why I like hand dyed anyway. It's not, I'm not just being like poncy or wanting to have something posher than everyone else or anything like that. It's
totally is though.
What? It's not, I don't spend all my money on clothes. I spend it on yarn.
No. Yeah. Same. Yarn and food. That's why I'm so large.
And it's just so the... Good. I like it being a bit different. I like knowing each individual one is different. That's like part of the fun.
Yeah, I quite like that too. Yeah, having a garment that you've made out of something hand-dyed is just awesome because normally you've kind of saved up to get it. You've gone to the shop or the website to buy it. You've probably had some kind of interaction with the actual person that has dyed it or somebody that is close to that person. It just gives it a bit more of a story, really, than, you know... A Primark cardigan.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's levels, aren't there? There's like the your Primarni cardigan. You're paying
Primarni.
Primarni. You never called it Primarni.
No.
I thought everybody called it Primarni.
Not up here, clearly.
No. It probably sounds weird in a Dundonian accent. That's why.
Primarni,
yeah. But I mean, like, it's good. Like, you can go there, you can get stuff, and it's really cheap and all that kind of good stuff. But someone at some point has paid down the line for that to be so cheap.
Yeah.
In terms of someone's not being paid a lot of money or someone is missing out somewhere if you're only paying that kind of money for clothes or whatever. And I'm not judging anyone. Like, I'm not judging anyone for anything. But you've got to be realistic about how your, like, economics works. And then you've got, like, the other end of the scale where you've got your hand... Well, you could even go hand-spun, hand-dyed, hand-knitted... you know, made to order type thing by yourself yeah. to fit you. And there's levels in between, isn't there? And it's not like commercial yarn is the devil or anything. There's definitely a place for it. And you can get some really decent ones that are a little bit different and have still got kind of like, they can be British and they can be this or they can be that.
Yeah.
And be machine dyed. But I just think there's something, like you said, nice about saving up and having that yeah. money and going and picking something really carefully. The beautiful
yeah, because you've got to
and,
proper think about it too, don't you?
Yes.
Because it can be a lot of money to spend on something.
Yeah.
And you're like, but will I wear the lime green or will I wear the grey? You know, let's be sensible about it.
And it's totally yeah. worth it. It's totally, it's not saying like hand dye is so expensive and it's not worth it. It is totally worth
it. Oh, God, no, it's completely worth it. It's just, I'm really cheap. I'm not going to lie. So anything that I spend that's more than like £1, I consider massively.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Going and getting like a garment's worth of hand dyed yarn, I like agonize over my decision because it's a big deal for me, and it makes it even more special because it's I have, you know, properly thought about it. Because I'm terrible again saying that I'm really cheap. I'm terrible for just buying something because I'm like, yeah, I'll totally use that, and it sits in a drawer.
Mm.
Don't want that. So yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Considered is the right word. I think it's a considered decision. Yeah,
absolutely. I don't know if any of that made sense, dude.
It totally makes sense. But it's nice to have these conversations with people and talk about like how they approach their yarn buying or how yeah. they approach their knitting from, you know, like taking it from a kind of a slightly different point of view. Because it can be sometimes like people can go into certain camps that they'll kind of like self-identify with. So you have like Louise with her Knit British camp and she's all about a local wool and I'm only going to use local wool or I'm only going to use British wool and that's all I'm going to use and this is my thing. And then you have some people like, I only use hand-dyed yarn and I'm only going to knit with this and I'm only going to knit with that. And then you have like your budget people who are like, I only knit with acrylic. You know what?
Yeah.
I make baby clothes with people and I love knitting, yeah. but I don't have a lot of money and I give it away and I'm going to use acrylic off the market because it's like £1.50 yeah. a bottle.
My knit group are quite a good representation of that broad spectrum. We have a lot of people who, they knit for the, I mean, we all knit for the enjoyment of it. That's not what I mean. But yeah, there are people who knit with acrylic and they make clothes for babies and even for themselves. And it's not so much about the materials. It's more about the process, I think. And that is totally cool. And then you get folk that will use, say, a mid-range yarn with structure spinners or whatever, because yeah, they want the quality, but they can't quite afford, you know, the hand-dyed or the hand-spun or whatever, which again is totally cool. And then you get the folk that they live for the hand-dyed or the hand-spun, or they spin their own, which is cool too. And it's quite interesting that we all have the same love for the thing that we do, but we all do it differently. That's what I like about hand dye too. Who was I talking to? I think it was when I had a student in asking me questions about the dissertation, and I was like, we all basically start off with the same materials and we all create something quite different. I mean, I always look at, again, comparing myself to Jess and Zoe, purely because we're all good friends, I hope. And you know, we kind of opened our shops about the same time, and you know, we're all of the same kind of mindset when it comes to business, and we all hang out together and stuff, which is awesome. The three of us are all very, very different when it comes to dyeing. So like Zoe's got her very I always think she's like an earth mother, like a Wiccan earthy kind of thing. And then you've got Jess, who's very vintage and, you know, very beautiful. And then there's me, who likes neon. And it's quite interesting to see how everything's different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
And it's a good point. And it is like that what I thought was really good about what you said there was that we all share this love for this kind of this base thing of knitting, this act of knitting and, you know, the repetition and making stitches and making our own clothes or
yeah.
creating things with our hands for whatever reason we've come into it, which could be an entire podcast episode by itself.
Oh, gotcha.
But how we can all take it, you know, that's our base level, but we all, how we express that It's completely different. Yeah, completely different.
I mean, even down to like what kind of patterns people enjoy using, or needle. I mean, needles. Oh my god, the wars between double pointed needles and circular needles is just crazy. Some people just refuse to use one or the other, like, and it does the same thing. It's weird.
I actually find knitting magic loop boring compared to using DPNs. Yeah.
Oh man, I find it boring. Circular knitter. No, I like my magic loop.
I like it. I can do it. Like, I ain't got an issue with it, but I find it boring. Using DPNs feels a little bit like magic to me.
You think?
Yeah.
But I find it so fiddly.
I know, but it's a bit like playing Kaplunk, isn't it?
No, it's not fun. See, it's not fun. It's not fun.
I have attention span issues, so I like that. Like, I like to feel the different thing. But then I like eyelash yarn. I like novelty yarn, and I'm not sorry. Now, you can go look in my cupboard, and there is a fortune's worth of expensive yarn in there, but I still love eyelash yarn. I love novelty yarn. It's fun.
We've all got that part of our stash that is novelty yarn, and we all secretly love it.
I'm not even secret about it, mate. I am out and proud.
Good. I like sari silk yarn.
Oh. Well, doesn't that hurt your hands? Yeah. I'm getting judgmental.
Yeah, I know you are. Jeez. No, I enjoy it. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the colours or... I don't know. I just really like it. I haven't made it into anything. Apart from a mat. But yeah. But I still continue to buy it.
They are really pretty colours, but I do struggle with seeing what you could make with it, and I have heard it hurts your hands.
It does hurt a little bit, yeah.
When I haven't got any time for that. Like, I don't want to suffer for my art.
Well, you are not getting into art student. Art student?
Yeah, I could just be one of those low-fat art students that's just playing around a little bit. Maybe, like, we could pretend that my family are landed gentry, and I don't really know what I want to do with my life, and I don't really have to work because my family are landed gentry.
Are you there for the social aspect of
it? Yeah, social. Yeah. So I'm just going to go and be a low-fat student at art school.
Low-fat student.
I'll be a terrible art school student. Can't draw.
You don't have to be able to draw.
Do you not? See, this is how much consideration I've given to art school.
this is the thing that I discovered when I was at college. As long as you can mark make, you are fine.
That's what kids do.
Precisely. So... That's it. You don't have to be able to draw. Not well, anyway. But if you can mark make, you're all good. You're set. That's how I got through.
So it's learning the lingo then. That's what I need to do. I was never that good. I stopped doing maths in year 9 and did triple science, double language instead. That's the kind of artist I am.
But see, I never did art at school. I did the three sciences and two languages and all that nonsense. And yeah. Turns out I'm a deep, dark, secret artist. No, I even dress like one.
Maybe it's just the way they teach art in school.
Yeah, I think in school it's all about the drawing. Whereas art can be anything. Really, I mean, I've seen some of the stuff that comes out of Duncan Jordanston. It can literally be anything. Mm. I mean, I don't want to talk about it. It's bringing back, like, PTSD.
Anyway, let's go. We'll drag ourselves back to the yarn again.
Sorry.
So you've talked about some of your plans for the Rusty, for the Fezza, and you've talked about your new yarn coming out. You're going to be getting this Polworth DK.
Yeah.
What else have you got for us to look forward to over the next few months? Where do you see Rusty going next on his steampunk gentleman journey?
Oh, good question. I want to say bigger. Oh, no, I do know what's happening.
Good, I'm glad.
Wait, I do know what's happening. What are you talking about? Oh, I'm just focused on Christmas right now, getting to Christmas, because I'm going away on holiday for a month.
And
that is as far as my brain is kind of... Don't tell Joy that. She will beat me. The real Joy, not the Tanya Joy. Mm-hmm. My next plan for Rusty Ferret is a subscription box. I'm kind of fleshing that out at the moment. And we'll hopefully have them up for sale before Christmas. And the first box will be going out end of January. And it will be a quarterly thing with a skein of yarn, and two bits. I don't know what the bits are yet. That's what I'm figuring out. I want to put all the stuff in there, but my accountability buddy is reining me in a little bit because she says I'm going a bit crazy. But I was looking into getting socks made, not going to lie.
I've been thinking about getting a circular sock machine.
Oh, no, I meant like, I would love a circular sock machine. But no, like you can get them like, you know, like commercial socks.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get those made with your design on them. It's a thing. It's an actual thing. You get sock subscription boxes.
Amazing. What?
Yeah, I've spent too much time on internet. Yeah, so that's kind of the next big plunge for Rusty Ferret. I don't know if that's something people want. I don't know. Let me know. Please hit me up with a message if it's something that you would like. Because I've just been working in my own head, basically. But yeah. And then what else? I want to do more. Like, I have one Rusty Ferret wall. I want two.
I love that.
Because, God, it was ages ago I sent you a picture. Was it of, like, Pearl Soho or something? Or maybe it was Hedgehog Fibers, and it was just a wall of yarn. And I was like, that is my goal for Rusty Ferret. And I think I've got it.
You totally have. And it was only the beginning of the year you decided that was going to be your goal.
Was it?
Yeah, at the retreat you said you wanted a wall full of yarn. And I was like, easy.
You're done. Boom.
Boom. There you go. Not even trying. Now you want two walls by the end of the year.
Two walls. Yeah.
Love that. That's the kind of attitude we want around here.
Yeah, we want two walls. So that's what we're... That's maybe my goal for next year is to be able to fill a second wall of ferret.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and I've applied to Edinburgh again because I loved it so much last time. Yay. I'm so excited. And... Oh, what else? I haven't really planned 2019, really. I just want to keep going, keep moving forward. That's not an exciting answer, is it?
That's a totally exciting answer. You talked about subscription boxes in Edinburgh. In fact, you said the E word, the EYF word.
Yeah, EY, got to drop
that. It's
not
even been Halloween yet. You're not allowed to talk about it till at least Christmas. Like, sorry. I'm putting a ban on it until at least Christmas.
Well, yeah. You asked what I was doing next. I've applied.
I did ask.
It's like one of the next things.
You know, the thing is it's always on the weekend near my birthday, and then people start talking about it all year, and then it makes the year go really quick, and it means I'm getting old really quick.
Oh, don't.
That's my problem with it.
I'm not old, though.
I'm not. I know I'm not old, but thanks to EYF, I am getting old quicker because everyone's always talking about it, so I'm putting a ban on it. Banning it till Christmas.
Message Joe and Mika. Say,
yeah, Stop marketing. Cease your marketing.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. I don't want to be successful because it's my birthday.
Well, it's not that I don't want to be successful because it's my birthday. I just don't want to get old because they're so successful.
No, I would have a full-on stop about it. I'd be like, just stop right now.
I love it. It's so exciting.
You've had your 5 years, now stop.
I know. Don't, because I need to start going backwards now.
Oh, no.
I'm not that old. I'm only 34, but like I'll be 35 soon. That's halfway to 40. That's definitely time to be going backwards.
See, my mum's saying she's been 21 since she turned 21, I'm pretty sure. So I think you can choose whenever you want to go backwards.
All right, because I'm ready to be 19 again. 19 was a great year for me.
I quite like being 22. Again.
22, ooh.
22 was a good... I don't know why. I just quite enjoyed that year. But yeah, well, I'm 31 now. Being 30 was okay. That was like a bit of a, ooh, I'm 30. I've lived till I was 30. But now I'm like 31. It's just a weird, I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird age. I don't know.
Indeed.
I don't know, man.
So on that note.
Yeah, sorry.
I think we can wrap up. I think we've had a good chat. I think we talked about Rustin, your plans and stuff.
Have I talked enough about Rusty? I don't know. That was the point in the interview, and I feel like I've talked about everything else other than.
Yeah, but you talked about Rusty, but we talked about other stuff as well. I mean, that's that. They're the conversations we have, and it's I want it to be more of a get to know you in like in a more informal way, and that's okay, good. We've had some good chat. We got novelty yarn in there.
Yes,
always important to me. Let's be honest. My
I used campaign. Some of my sari silk to make an onion bag. That was quite exciting.
There you go, see. You've inspired me. I've been thinking about diving back into my cupboard now and getting some yarn out. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that chit-chat with Leona. We actually continued talking after this and got into the subject of holiday knitting, which I've decided to put into a separate episode for you. So there'll be some more random holiday knitting chat with Leona as a special third appearance in a later episode, because it was a little bit of a different subject to what we were talking about. We kind of went off on another tangent and it was so good by itself. I thought, you know what, this could almost be its own episode. So let's just do that. So you can find everything to do with Rusty Ferret and Leona over at fluff.co.uk. And of course, as always, all the links are in the show notes, shinybees.com/120. So that's all we've got time for. I hope you'll have a great week. Happy crafting, and I will speak to you again soon. Cheers. Thank you for listening to the Shiny Bees podcast. Show notes are at shinybees.com/120. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please do go over to iTunes and give us a review over there to help other people find the podcast, which is also available now on Spotify if you'd prefer to listen to it there. To laugh again with you, if that's all right. I need a drink.